13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When he had gone out, after washing his disciples' feet and calling out Judas and what was to come, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus is one who is focused on relationships because God is focused on relationships. Since the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus has walked with his disciples, addressed religious leaders, and connected with all the people who were struggling with life situations. He loved those who felt unloved. He stood up for the marginalized. He comforted those who were broken. He healed the sick. He welcomed the foreigner. He continued to show those around him, and even show us today, what God asks of them, and you and I. And after 3 years of modeling this behavior, Jesus reminds those around him again that his time on earth was limited, but the work is not done. I notice something interesting that Jesus addresses about the disciples' relationship. Jesus is basically calling out the stuff, that stuff is going to happen. And something might just separate them from each other. It's easy to just move beyond the foot washing without addressing that little blip about Jesus, or about Judas betraying Jesus, and the comment that comes directly after this, where Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him. Jesus knows that tension between the 12 will be changing, but no matter what happens, they must continue to love each other. As they move along after Jesus' death, there will be disagreements. Maybe over who is in charge, or who controls the money, or where they go, or even what Jesus meant when he said so much over those 3 years. How is that to be interpreted? What Jesus is asking of them may seem so easy, but tomorrow may be different, or next month, or next year. And someone around you hurts you, or hurts someone you love, it's easy to turn away from them. It's easy to walk away from a relationship because of what someone says or does. We think forgiveness can't happen until they apologize, and I can see that they have changed. But Jesus isn't commanding to love only after another is able to check off the things off of some good person list. The command is simple. Love one another. Just do it. I look at the world, and it breaks my heart. Because people can quote this over and over, and yet the world can't seem to hear it. And they certainly have their reasons why they won't follow this commandment. There's too much that has happened, hurtful words that can't be forgiven, or no words were said when you needed support, and yet you have to love them? Jesus says to love one another, but Jesus certainly is not talking about this situation. This is a case in which punishment will come from God, I'm sure of that. I've heard Christians, especially the Christian nationalists, which again are not Christians, speak about division and claiming who God loves and who doesn't. They would say love one another, but only those who fit into the box that they have created. That is not what Christ's love looks like. Love one another seems to go against the ideas of many Americans. Love one another comes with conditions in the minds of many, maybe even among us. Because loving one another means seeing beyond the actions of others and seeing the good in their hearts. It means welcoming someone you may not want to welcome. It's forgiving those you don't want to forgive. You think about the 1 Corinthians text that we hear so many times at weddings is a type of guide for us to love. It's really talking about God and God's love for us. It's a way of reminding us of what God's love looks like, that we cannot accomplish it the way Jesus does. Because when God tells us to love, it's not like the way we love pizza, though I really love some places' pizzas, or about chicken. It's not about the way we love a painting. I might even say it's stronger than the love that we have for a spouse or our children. Because what would it mean to love our neighbors like God loves us? What would this world look like to understand God's love and to share it with everyone we meet, including the unhoused or the addicted, or the family member or friend who has hurt you deeply by their words or their actions? This command is probably the hardest commandment placed on us, except for the have no other gods. We are like the disciples, and we betray or deny our connection with God over and over again. We turn our backs to the hungry when Jesus tells us to love and feed them. We betray God when we say that only some people deserve God's grace, or that what is happening to that person is a punishment from God for what they have done. We deny the deity of God when we determine who is in and who is out, or who we criticize or judge based on who deserves salvation and who doesn't. Jesus shows us over and over what it means to love our neighbor, and while I admit that I myself screwed up over and over again, I make the commitment to try again in the next connection I have. And I think that's what God is looking for. God knows we screw up, but the more we try, the more it becomes part of us because it is part of God. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. by all of the other commandments and maybe no more, but it is central to what it means to be a Christian, no matter what the world says. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So let's give it a shot. Won't you? Thanks, Peter.